All right. So starting off with the alternative REST proposal from Asker. So Asker's message actually kicked off quite a large discussion on the mailing list, which was very good to see. I spent some time yesterday catching up on it and trying to sort of understand some of the nuances that were coming up in the discussion. But I thought we could maybe get sort of a general feeling from Asker, what the status is. I noticed, I think some of the latest messages were around how it relates to transaction support. Ultimately, I think it would be good for this group to get a good sense of whether this is something that, you know, we want to go forward with, but, you know, maybe the timing is something that we need to think about for in relation to 3.3. So, Asger, can you
get about the status of this? There are no code to support this yet. It was a proposal for an alternative API because at times I felt the so-called big methods of Fedora could be difficult to work with, especially if you wanted to probably support create, retrieve, update, and delete like workflows. Especially properties, both on objects and data streams, are not that easy to get to with the traditional API. I tried to write up a REST because REST is the big and popular web service interface now. Write up a proposal of how could a REST API support these things. And I posted it to the wiki and people commented on it, and the discussion grew long because I made it a point to respond to every comment, and then people responded to my response, and yeah. The status of it, a lot of suggestions have been given as part of the discussion. Not all have been worked into the specification, if I can call it that, I put on the wiki. They should all be worked into it, or probably, they would probably all be worked into it. But there are a few. One of the interesting points that came out was from Aaron Berkland. Is he here? I don't recall if he's a committer or not.
Yep, I think he's on the call. Is he? Maybe not.
He is a committer, whether he's on the call.
Yeah, I don't think he's on the call right now. So.
Okay, yeah. Who pointed out that the Fedora data stream versioning conflicted a bit with if you didn't have a method for updating both the data stream content and the properties, and you had to do this in two operations, you would create two versions of a data stream. But if these properties should be part of the new version of the data stream, that would conflict. There are a few other problems that are pointed out. There are the lack of ingest and retrieve methods. Those were actually intentional. What Aaron pointed out was an unintentional side effect I hadn't thought of, and transactions relate to that. But I'm getting to that in a moment. Mm-hmm. There would be no ingest or get object XML or like methods. It was this API should support people working with Fedora without having intimate knowledge of FoxML. They would have to understand the conceptual idea of a Fedora object. It has data streams has properties, and so on. But they don't need to understand the FoxML. I specified methods for creating new empty objects. There were some discussion with who was that? Wasn't Steve Bayliss? It was Matsumwald, I think. about whether or not properties should be resources, and how relationships should be resources. Problem with addressing relationships in REST is that the RDF statement does not in any nice way make it into an URL.
Yeah.
And thus they are a bit difficult to address as resources, because to be a resource you have to be addressable by a URL. And he suggested a way of posting the content. I think that's a good idea, but the problem is you can delete. You can use a post and then make some language that you're posting with, but you cannot put content in a delete statement and so on. About the properties being resources or not, that's also a debated issue. I think I went into much detail.
I think that was good. I hadn't responded on the list yet, but I made an effort to sort of grok the whole conversation, and that was one of the pieces that hit me was actually, I mean, in REST it seems like, you know, we're not restricted in terms of what we can call a resource. Anything you want to give identity can be a resource. So it's a question of, you know, what grouping you decide on, or what level of granularity for your API, and what makes sense. So when I first read this, I thought it could be positioned as a potential replacement for the REST API at some point down the line, except we know that we have to continue to support, obviously, ingesting and exporting XML.
Yeah, those are important functions, and the two APIs could be merged so that these methods would not be lost.
Yeah.
So just not part of the alternative.
As Aaron pointed out, there has been a fairly long-standing discussion about transactions in Fedora, and the it always comes down to, you know, when we start to be able to talk about very granular changes on things, transactions can, depending on how they're implemented, transactions can give us an efficient way to make a set of changes to some resource. And I think it's always seemed like a bit of a difficult problem that nobody's really had time to dig into is how to make internally, but especially externally, to expose a Fedora repository as a transactional resource. But there's a sort of discussion out in the wider community about scalability of transactional resources. And folks like I think the CTO of Amazon was famous for talking about eventual consistency. And you know, when we have a big distributed, let's say it's a distributed repository that maybe, you know, ultimately consists of a lot of different nodes, it's going to be really hard at a certain point to make sure all the pieces are transactional and consistent with each other, or that we can present that illusion to people. So one way of approaching that is to just say, well, you know, we'll eventually the pieces in the system will come in sync with each other, but we're not going to put a restriction that says one object needs to be updated at the same instant that another object or resources is updated. So that's just I think some kind of interesting food for thought. In terms of the, I really like what, the way you've done this proposal, Asger. And
thank you.
I mean, having it spelled out on the wiki, kind of as a specification, even if it's not, you know, you said not really a spec, but it is a great point for people to jump off and discuss these things. It seems to me like the discussion has brought several people in into this space that maybe we haven't had really active in talking about Fedora's APIs before. So I think that's really good because, you know, obviously we're going to get a better REST API out of this in some way, I think, with a wider group of people involved in it. In terms of 3.3, I think you mentioned, Asger, that this probably doesn't make sense to try to push out in time for 3.3.
No, 3.3 is scheduled for something soon.
Yeah.
And this has no code. It's a way to agree upon a specification of how we would like an API, which resources and methods do we feel are lacking.
Yeah.
So no 3.3 for this.
Yep. So I think, I mean...
I would also... Can I,
go ahead, Ben.
I was just going to say, I think one of the things that really has ramped up the conversation about it, those, you know, how many of those messages were about the relationship APIs, and those are outstanding specifically for 3.3, are these implement add relationship methods and the resource and parameter semantics of that method in the existing REST API are, as far as I know, undefined. So I think this is one of the reasons that, at least for my part, I mean, I was, you know, I've been hesitant to start trying to address any of those issues because that conversation about one of the high priority issues for 3.3 is as intense as it has been.
Yeah. Well, jumping to 3.3 for a second, do we have, I've got the tracker in front of me, but I'm not seeing the issue about relationships. Anybody got that? I'll do a quick search, but
that was it may have been that there. Kai deleted. I might not have understood the work he was doing when he deleted some of those issues. But
I made them more granular. But basically, I broke them up into. I mapped each issue to one method, so it's there. Add relationship, purge relationship, get relationships. These
okay.
are there.
So let's see, 559 is the one for add relationship.
Yeah.
So that currently doesn't have any comments, but and I know we discussed, I think a couple weeks ago, the desire to get better documentation of those methods, but are they actually? Ben, were you indicating that they're not functioning properly, or are they just not?
They're actually not there in the REST API. The only way right now in the REST API that you can actually update the relationships is by actually updating the RailsX data stream directly.
Right. So the REST, the methods that are in the SOAP API for those, though, are functional, right?
Right. Right.
Just, and the semantics of those are understood. Or.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just talking about the REST APIs.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. So it's a question of really how to expose. That still needs to be decided on.
Right.
And that was one of the points that was actually raised on the mailing list as part of this alternative REST API, because there are no nice way of doing it. There are a few ways that could be good, but there's nothing that pops up as the correct way of working on this, because they don't make nice resources. And it's difficult to embed a content blob it's difficult to send a content blob for a REST service, and it's easy to do that for a SOAP service.
Yeah. Well, I remember when we first talked about the adding, I think Eddie will probably remember this discussion. We always recognized it's possible for people to just modify rels ext or rels int or what have you, just, you know, with the blob. So this is really a convenience thing. And that's kind of how we initially drew it up in terms of the SOAP side of things. So it's just a question of the right kind of REST mapping. Asgur, you mentioned nothing. There was no good way. So
there's no way that I consider good. But I can iterate the ways that came up at least.
Yeah.
So Chris, I'm wondering if it would be useful maybe to schedule just a whole special topic meeting about the REST API. Because it seems like obviously there's a lot of discussion going on, and it might be good to hit both. You know, what do we do for 3.3? Specifically with, you know, the relationships and a few of the other missing methods, and, you know, where would we like to take this proposal from that Asgur has put out?
Well, I think given that, you know, we're all here, I think we should try to see if we can attack this a bit today, just also given the fact that 3.3 is coming quite soon. It might be hard to put something together and see if, you know, if we need to roll over the discussion to another meeting or potentially just push it to next week. But right now we're kind of in 3.3 focus mode. So I'd suggest that we, you know, maybe try to dig into this a little bit, unless folks feel like they want to go off and think about it for a little bit. But I'm comfortable with just kind of pushing forward for another, say, 20 minutes on this topic. And if we feel like it warrants some more discussion, then we can see if we can work something out to have another live discussion.
I can always talk about this because I have it, most of it online, so I'm ready if people are.
Yeah. What are other folks comfortable with just jumping in on this one?
Yeah.
The only other items we've got are 3.3, any hot topics for 3.3. Kai and I wanted to touch on one that came up, and then just reviewing issues.
I'm happy to talk about this because some of the other things that I think are down the line, like Sparkle endpoint, things like that, are also going to end up kind of rubbing up against the periphery of this issue.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So why don't we do that then? Focus for at least, say, the next 20 minutes. And if we feel like we need to carry it forward, then we'll do that. So, Asgur, you mentioned that you could iterate through the different scenarios or possibilities. Can you do that?
With relations? Those two I have in my mind, and I believe it's the only two. Is point one, expressing the relation itself as a resource. the problem with that is that the relation are often namespaced, and that namespace is an URL in itself. So you're going to have the Fedora URL, and then the relation name either as a URL URL parameter or as part of the path, and it's going to be a very long, very unreadable URL. The other way of working with is to define, or I think Ben Wanker suggested a Sparkle-like language, but having some language where you could say post you're posting to the relations data stream. And the content of that the content of that post has a command like add and then the relation, or delete and then the relation. As having some sort of language inside the post contents to determine what you're going to do with the following relation. And the third way I could think of is to do it all through the whilst x, and as we now have to consider also the whilst int. Whatever we do, we have to come up with a consistent scheme of working with relations on objects and relations on data streams. Those were the ways that I know of at the moment of achieving this.
Yeah. Well, it seems like Spark. I mean, to me, Sparkle Update sounds pretty intriguing because, you know, it's if other systems are using that, then, you know, it seems like something we could borrow. I guess the question is, do we consider the relationships to be, you know, are we making changes to a graph, which is the repository graph? Separately from modifying some piece of each object. I mean, conceptually. 'Cause kind of what we did with, I mean, by adding those, you know, modify relationship methods was we broke out of this paradigm of Fedora being just containers for files, or the Fedora digital object just being kind of a container for files. We, you know, acknowledge that there's another abstraction for working with the repository and what happens under the hood, in a sense, isn't something that the client developer necessarily needs to know. I mean, they might know it. But it kind of strikes me like if we had some endpoint for doing this, well, whether it's Sparkle or not, we could argue that that endpoint is just a single endpoint and not particularly tied to the URL of a given digital object, but is just some, you know, it's say, you know, Fedora/graph or whatever, and then you send it a bunch of adds and deletes, and then it just invokes the correct actions underneath to make the right relsx and relsint changes.
Would that be confusing to people, though? Because, I mean, there's quite a lot of things exposed in resource index which are not kind of made explicit in FoxML, for example, aren't there? There's things like object properties, data stream states, and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And you'd be kind of propagating the concept that, you know, you can update the graph as a whole, whereas, in fact, we'd have to restrict it to relsx and relsint, and the people would be then confused as to why, you know, they could make certain changes but not others. Whereas if you make it more specific to you are just updating relsx to relsint, you avoid that. It's cropped up just recently on the mailing list, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Carsten Friedrich, I think, actually made this suggestion as to why we couldn't update Dublin Core by updating relationships.
So, you know, I mean, maybe it's worth just making this bit of history explicit, but I mean, it wasn't just, I mean, the relationships API wasn't just the sort of syntactic sugar, you know, to sort of make updating RelsX, you know, a little more, well, I don't know what adjective to apply to that. But anyway, let's just say easier. But it was also, right, I mean, we had this, we wanted to enable some kind of facility for doing relationships that didn't require the resource index, right? I mean, and that itself was one of these things. It was, I think, mostly just driven by the fact that, you know, there were sort of ongoing stability concerns. There was the sort of resource concern. There was the performance-related concern around doing updates of the actual triple store index. So this was sort of a, and one way of looking at it was like sort of a poor man's RI. And it's if we sort of didn't have the implementation issues, we probably would have never done this. I mean, I don't know if that's really true, but that's my guess. So it's so I guess where I'm kind of heading with this is, so if there's an inclination to go towards some kind of Sparkle update like syntax, I mean, it seems like it's at least worth making sure we're still assuming that it doesn't make sense to more tightly integrate the triple store, that it really does make sense to continue on just having you know, direct access to the now Rails int and Rails X data streams, and you know that's sort of that's sort of the end of it. I mean, if there's sort of a tighter integration planned, I mean, I feel like it's worth sort of debating whether or not, you know, we actually just want to support a true Sparkle, you know, query and update endpoint.
And by true, you just mean basically just an arbitrary triple store, like people can do anything with it.
Yeah.
That will cause some problems. One of the one of the really practical problems is that the triple store is still regarded as a cache. The triple store only contains data that can be passed from the FoxML objects. It should not contain anything added specifically to it, and not in the FoxML objects. So we need to make sure that every Sparkle update you send to the triple store is reflected in some of the FoxML objects. So I can't do anything with it.
Right.
Yeah, going that direction would certainly change that architectural idea that the triple store is just a cache of what's already in the objects, right? It wouldn't necessarily have to either. It could be still that, you know, if it were put together the right way, that triples could be just stored in objects too. That, you know, it's just with RelsXt and RelsInt, we have certain restrictions, namely the subject has to be a certain thing.
I'm thinking about something that, well, I don't know if it's a middle ground or not, but it seems like something that compromises a little bit, because I think one of the things that has been a little bit difficult about talking about that API is that the subject of the triple is always it's always understood to be this resource that's addressed at the in the front of the URI, if that makes sense, which is not totally how even the add relationship SOAP method works, but one thing I was just thinking about now, and it might clarify some of the issues of, you know, these are data stream properties or not, is I wonder if in a REST API the add relationship was understood not to be addressing something implied, not to address the resource implied as the subject of a relationship, but as the graph that a relationship is in.
Mm-hmm.
So that if you added, say you were going to add a relationship, you might add a relationship to the DC stream as a URI, but instead of it being something about the DC stream, what you're saying is to this graph, add this relationship, and then we come up with a way to parameterize in kind of, you know, the way that the SOAP API does, where you give it a subject in the form of the PID and a predicate and an object, and then those different data streams, which, and when you're using add relationships, you're addressing as a graph, might have different rules about what predicates they're going to accept in those graphs. But I don't know that, or maybe that might be crazy talk.
Well, I mean, I think that's particularly interesting to think about, because I know more and more in these RI discussions, the subject of quads have come up, and it just seems like a lot of people are kind of, to me, just observing that our digital objects could be conceived as sort of graphs in themselves, with identity and kind of, you know, they can contain whatever you want logically. If we step in that direction, certainly if we have a single triple store that we're trying to keep up to date and consistent, then it seems restrictions, either we sort of take our hands off and say, well, you're on your own, hope you don't screw up, or, you know, put in some restrictions and say, well, you know, you can only say these things within this object. But I think that's particularly interesting to think about. I mean, Ben, you didn't mention anything relating to the triple store as a cache. And it, as you were talking, I was starting to think about what would happen if, you know, if people started regarding the digital objects as containers for graphs themselves. Then the next step is people are probably going to want to put a lot of things in those little graphs, and then we run into one of the issues that's outstanding, which is the inline RailsXt and RailsInt are inline data streams, which are memory bound if they're implemented that way. I mean, if the triples are persisted in. Continue to be persistent in those data streams. Dan, you were going to say something, I think.
I just wanted to remind that the RailsInt and RailsXt were intended to be a place where we had a limited amount of a limited semantics for interoperability purposes. With the notion of being able to declare a specific content model, one could begin to establish other bodies of RDF that represented other sorts of information models. Often, what the users or the application's information model, and then you can kind of invert the notion. Instead of thinking about everything being on Fedora, things can be an application. Which then serializes stuff into the right Fedora objects, into the right data streams, so that you can do some of these sorts of things you'd like to do, instead of having to modify the Fedora APIs to do them.
I mean, really, shouldn't the... I mean, the Fedora model should have an ontology behind it, and conceptually you can have one graph, which is the Fedora repository, which only contains stuff conforming to the Fedora ontology, including, you know, the limited semantics implied by RailsInt and RailsExt. And if you want to do something else, those can be, you know, separate graphs in Mulgara, for example, that, as Dan said, you know, that's part of a different application layer.
Right.
I mean, coming back to the comment on Dublin Core, for example, and addressing graphs, I mean, RailsX and RailsInt could be addressed as graphs, but Dublin Core at the moment is just an OAIDC set of XML. It's only a graph by dint of imperative code written within Fedora at the moment.
Yeah.
So wait, I mean, as far as the... I mean, if we steer back to, like, the actual, you know, REST API implementation for relations, I mean, if we think ahead to other possible cases that, I mean, we don't care about for 3.3, but just, I mean, is it useful to think of just having the URL endpoint to be something like the object / data stream, and then, you know, it's just sort of and then conceive of this whole relationships API as just a means of dealing with triples. And so, you know, at this point for 3.3, we deal with, you know, object PID / RailsX or RailsInt and these operations, but then I mean, depending on what we ultimately settle on for even the DC data stream, like, you know, it could apply to that. It could also apply to sort of arbitrary data streams that users want to deal with that are RDF XML, I mean, or whatever. But, I mean, you know, that's sort of the generic extension point for this. And so for we can just think of it as, you know, the triples relationships service for data streams, basically, or endpoint for data streams.
That makes a lot of sense to me, actually. I mean, it's just a kind of a useful thing to be able to manipulate arbitrary RDF data streams using convenience methods rather than having to, you know, develop XSLT to it. I mean, you could also conceive on a similar line, you could provide a kind of an XPathX update type API interface for updating XML data streams as something for the future. You know, be similar to that.
Just to be sure, what you said was that we're not going to do a specific relationships API in REST for 3.3. We're going to let people modify RailsX and RailsInt, or perhaps modifying the parts of RailsInt that pertain a particular data stream, but still letting them put the RDF in without a helper API. Was that clear?
I'm not sure I quite grok that.
Let me maybe try to restate it, at least what I heard too, and see if this rings true. The suggestion is that we acknowledge the fact, you know, we don't change the relationship, treat the relationship API as a separate thing from, or divorce it from RailsXt and RailsInt. We actually make those relationship modifying techniques clearly accessible in the API in reference to those data streams. So whatever the syntax is, it will be clear that it's in the abstract is a special way of posting a change to a particular kind of data stream.
Yes.
Okay.
And then what would you do if you were implementing a particular ontology or vocabulary for an RDF data stream? Then you would run a validation on it and say you tried to do something that was not permitted?
I think so. I mean, basically, since, I mean, you know, for 3.3, we wouldn't take on more than doing rels ext and rels int. And, you know, we sort of are in code, you know, enforcing sort of, you know, unsaid or somewhat said, you know, rules that could later be actually, you know, expressed in a proper ontology. I mean, you know, a future rev then could support, you know, linking up or referring anyway to some ontology for some data stream. I mean, I don't know exactly how we do that, but you know, I mean, I can imagine at least you could go in that direction, and that would be sort of a generalizable pattern. Yeah, I don't know. That just sort of, you know, popped in my head. So I mean,
so in a sense, I mean, to me, it seems like the validation piece of it is a bit separate. I mean, if any data stream can be validated any way, and the framework for doing that is probably dependent on the format of that kind of data stream. So, I'm kind of liking this myself. It seems like if other folks agree that this kind of approach makes sense, that maybe the next step is to get one of us or a couple of us to spin off and come up with a proposed syntax for doing that. I mean, a proposed you know, what does that API endpoint actually look like, and maybe post it on the wiki or the mailing list or something. But I just want to give other folks who haven't spoken up in this part of the discussion a chance. Anybody want to chime in on this approach?
I really think I have to see the how the endpoint is going to look before I understand the full implications of this. But
well, maybe a straw man makes sense for the time being. Maybe I can just throw out a straw man just to have something. And let me just invent something really quick. it's a post to the data stream. I mean, it's an HTTP post. And the format of the data that's posted is maybe a special text format that has like a set of adds and deletes. It's a just, you know, very simple, maybe n triples based or something.
Or Sparkle update.
Yeah, or Sparkle.
A Sparkle update would be a nicer choice there, because it wouldn't. We could restrict it like we restrict rels text.
Okay. So, for example, Sparkle update, and then if the content comes in that particular format, then it's treated not as a whole replacement or a new version of the entire thing, but it's treated as a delta by Fedora, and some module in Fedora knows how to deal with these things and actually makes the change to the data stream.
The nice thing about that is that it could fall easily into the existing modified data stream method.
Yeah.
And just in this case, say, oh, if we happen to be looking at, you know, rels ext, rels int, then we, you know, we'll need to handle it slightly differently. But as far as the syntax, it will be the same, and just the posted content or actually put content will be different.
Yeah. So
then, if there's
the proper verb, right?
Then, if there's some general, if there's a generalized hook into a validation mechanism, it gets rid of this kind of ugliness that is in Fedora right now, where there's system data streams with their kind of arcane rules for what can be posted and what can't be posted, make it explicit.
So I think, Steve, you just made a change to that bit of code, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit ugly at the moment how Rails Extend and now Rails Int are validated. What would be nice, for example, is to move that out into something like an RDS schema, and you know, have a explicit declarative rule for what can cannot be in those data streams, rather than the code we've got at the moment. And kind of thinking forward, if you allow just kind of arbitrary RDF data streams, you know, as part of the content model, you could specify RDF schema for them. So again, just posting to the data stream with a Sparkle update could also trigger the validation for those.
But if you allowed arbitrary RDF data streams, we have to put an enhancement into Mulgar. Foundation of the Rails X data stream is the restriction that all relations has to be about that object. The same
suggestion there would be to keep essentially the resource index as it is at the moment, keep the main model as just the Fedora repository graph, if you like. And maybe in a content model, you could specify that certain arbitrary RDF data streams get pushed into a different graph. You know, an application graph, for example, and then you know, in the resource index in the query section, you could, you know, unite queries across both of them that clearly separate out the two, so you wouldn't have any conflicts.
Is one solution. I actually had a different one, coming from the idea that the resource index is a cache of what's in the objects. If you could either in the database or resource index or somewhere keep a number saying how many times has this triple been defined in the objects. If two objects assert the same triple, and they can if you allow arbitrary RDF, then a delete of one of the objects should not remove the triple from the resource index.
Right, so you just that basically will like garbage collection for triples.
Yeah, actually, yes. I know a few other people who, and we tried it with the enhanced content models to push the ontology into the resource index, but the problem is that the ontology and such arbitrary RDF defines things that are not about the same object. And thus they can conflict.
Could you not put the ontology in a separate graph within Mulgar?
We could. We never thought of it. But even that graph will still have the problem of the content within that is if the ontologies both assert the same thing, and one of the content models is removed, the ontology relating to that content model is removed, and then the assertions are removed, even though they are asserted in another content model.
Yeah,
that wouldn't really help having a separate graph. We have to have a separate graph for each content model then.
Which again could be doable. I think it's quite a big topic actually.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think maybe we need to rewind a little bit and I mean, it seems to me that we can actually treat this this API discussion for Rails Int and Rails Ext as a separate concern from how validation could be made better in the future. So, I mean, the code that's actually in place right now even could continue to work even after changing this the way that diffs are computed and applied against the Rails X and Rails Int, and that could be still be sent into the validation code.
Yeah.
How would we characterize the discussion about validation so we make sure we can hit on it again? Is it a generalized, I think maybe Dan said, generalized hook to a validation mechanism? But that, I mean, that's a piece of it, but there's also some questions that I heard about, Steve, you made points about, you know, it'd be nice if it could be, in the RDF case, it could be validated against an ontology.
Or an RDF schema. I mean, in the same way that you've got an XML data stream at the moment where you might specify the schema and the location, I mean, I believe at the moment data streams don't get validated, do they, at all?
No, not really. I mean, if it's inline XML, it has to be well-formed. If it's one of the special recognized data streams, then, you know, Fedora does its own internal validation. But so,
I mean, for instance, for Dublin Core, that doesn't get validated, I believe. You can put arbitrary XML in there. So it's kind of a bigger topic as to how overall you'd want to handle data stream validation. But I'd work it within that so that you could, within an RDF data stream, specify, you know, whatever scheme you want to use for that and do it in that kind of standard way rather than in just kind of the code we've got at the moment.
We actually made a way of doing that with enhanced content models, at least a way of specifying the schemas and so on. But as far as validation goes, what we did there was using these decorator functions at the APIM level from Fedora config files. Do people know what I'm talking about here?
Yeah.
Okay, good. We used those and then to hook the APIM methods so that upon a change, we could check if that change was valid.
I mean, what would be nice is to specify that in content models, say which data stream should and should not be validated. And then in the system content model, you could, for instance, specify that OAIDC should be validated and RailsX and RailsIn should be validated. And then let people specify what they want for other data streams and just specify the schemas.
So it sounds like creating an issue for this for future discussion would be like generalized mechanism for handling valid data stream validation, and then with you know particulars being probably somehow content model based, and then we could certainly look at Asker's enhanced content models work as possible inspiration for such a framework. And one specific format, well, we're looking at, I mean, we're talking about this in relation to RDF and Dublin Core as those pre-recognized formats. But, the, you know, obviously it would be nice to have a way to hook in validation of other formats. I mean, just general XML, too. Which I think enhanced content models did, right?
Yeah, XML we basically said you could define an XML in the DC type model. You could define an XML schema for a data stream, and we made a validator as an external service, and you could then validate the object, and it would check that schema from the content model.
Okay.
It just has to be worked into Fedora so that it is performed automatically upon a change to a data stream and so on.
Okay, so for now, I'm going to just go ahead and create a new issue so that we can jump on this discussion at a future time. But I know we went about 10 minutes over what we had planned on this this part of the discussion. But I think it sounds like we're agreeing that for modify or for the relationship methods, in particular, a solution based on HTTP, I think the correct verb would be put, right? Or I don't know, put or post. And then the straw man being Sparkle update to actually get the changes in. So if we had such a thing, and validation was as it existed today.
Yeah, that would just happen automatically.
Yeah. So is this enough of a specification to put it on the current issue?
Can I replay that a little bit then? So at the moment we've got existing proposed REST API methods for updating say, the contents of an inline data stream. That data stream could be RailsX'd, But instead of posting some fresh RDF XML, you could post instead a Sparkle update instead. And maybe have a URL parameter that says what kind of update you're performing, whether you're performing an XML update or a Sparkle update or conceptually in the future an X update for directly updating XML contents. Does that make sense?
Okay, so you're thinking about it more in the abstract. So if we...
I mean, forget about it being relationship API, if you like, and just think about it being different ways to update data streams, one of which is RDF-centric.
Yeah, I think that actually could set us up for some nice stuff in the future.
If you really start thinking about a lot of this, I think we end up probably getting back to, it was Aaron who proposed it a long time ago about having writable disseminators, right? I mean, because there's a lot of ways in which this kind of thematically fits with the notion of writing a disseminator for this kind of activity, and that you would actually tie it to the content models. And if we could just do the writable bit, just that would be sort of the right extent, or it seems like the sort of right Fedora-like extensible model for this sort of behavior. It's just that we don't have that, and I don't know if taking that, biting on that just to do this is sort of the right, is sort of the pragmatic thing to do.
But it wouldn't be that difficult, would it, to make writable disseminators? You have to be able to post the disseminator URL, and I believe you can only get at the moment, but it doesn't seem to be a very extensive update to the VSDL schema we use. And then having a way for such a disseminator to hook back into Fedora, that's actually the most difficult part, I think. Having the disseminator translate stuff to a new RDF.
Because that's generally the way, for a lot of things in Fedora that I would think of extending things. I mean, it would be like the way we support, additional ingest and export formats. That would be great if we could do it via disseminators. This is, actually kind of a more specific case of that, for dealing with specific data streams. But you could also, that would also support basically the export of your relationships in various formats too, right? And then, you can sort of keep applying this to all kinds of cases for data stream manipulation.
The problem at the moment is that in the current architecture, disseminators are not really explicitly bound to data streams, they're bound to the object.
To the object, right.
So it's a bit unclear that this disseminator, when you post to this disseminator, you're updating the wealth X data stream. But that could probably just be documented away.
I could see actually it being done as a parameter or something, but then...
A lot of disseminators do the whole have the model of feed whatever data streams are required as inputs. So it does fit in that model. Whether that's sort of if we were doing this from scratch, if that's sort of the syntax we would have shot for, probably not. But
my feeling on that is like. There's a significant amount of consideration I think we need to give to if we were to add to this being able to do it via disseminators. It seems like that could be something that would take more time, quite a bit more.
That's why I said, I don't see this as being sort of the pragmatic way to get to this functionality. I do see it as sort of, it seems like the sort of the right Fedora-like way to be doing these kinds of adding this new kind of functionality. But
So, I mean, another, I guess another way to think of it is if it's a built-in, I mean, you know, we have our built-in disseminator. And so we kind of fake it with some of that stuff, right? Default disseminators, and this could be faked in the same way, that it's basically a built-in piece of functionality that the service deployment in the sky implements. you know, it's the syntax for invoking it is, you know, as if such a service definition existed.
I quite like that idea of having some system provided disseminators for, you know, generic updating of RDF or even XML.
Yeah.
Would be just useful for people. And then you're away from the, you know, these specifics, but it would be useful as is. So.
Yeah, so in a out-of-box repository, I mean, we have that, we have the default content models. I can't remember if we actually went ahead and created the default, their service definitions or not.
Yes.
Yes, I believe we do.
Okay.
That and that, yeah.
So, even if, I don't know, it would have to be, I mean, we could go so far with that without digging into a certain amount of ugly code. On one hand, we could make it look just like a disseminator. Like, I mean, the URL could be, you know, /bdef/pid/method name with parameters and potentially just have it take in that particular case, it takes extended HTTP verbs. It accepts post and put and delete and what have you as necessary for this specific piece of functionality. But the coding of that could actually be kind of hacked. I mean,
right. We wouldn't take on the general case of supporting this for all disseminators. We'd have set it up so that we could get there, right?
Yeah.
I kind of like that.
Yeah. So we have this Fedora system service definition object that we could certainly add to or extend. But this, we didn't go so far in this. This is the service definition content model. Yeah, okay, so these are all content models, these default objects that we created. We didn't go so far as to create the service definition object for the Fedora.
I believe so.
Nope, not unless it's sitting on somebody's drive somewhere. I mean, it's not one of the...
Try to look inside the default content model because you can embed all sorts of things in a content model. It can be everything. Does not have to be a separate object.
Sorry, Asghar, I didn't catch the whole statement or question. Or...
Yeah. It wasn't a question. It was just trying to help you. What I said is that the default, I don't know if this is true, I'm opening my Fedora checkout at the moment, but the default content model could also be a service definition and a service deployment for these default services.
Mm-hmm. It could.
That is technically possible. You might have done that. That is why there was only 4 default objects.
Yeah, it turns out we didn't, but actually that was one of the things we wanted to, for some strange reason, make possible. Or we didn't want to artificially limit it, I should say. And so that is technically possible. I'm looking at the default content model right now, and its RelsX data stream says that it has the model, content model. It has itself as a content model, which makes sense. But if we had actually expressed in the way that we recommend other people express relationships to service definitions and stuff, this would actually have more information in it. It would be has service, I think.
Yeah.
And it would point to an SDEP or an SDEF.
SDEF.
So clearly, though, it's possible to, even without expressing it, now it would probably make sense to actually express it, but it's possible to still get it syntactically on the URL to look like a disseminator.
There's a question there, to throw something else into the mix, as to whether the existing add and modify REST API shouldn't go through the same mechanism, through a writable disseminator.
Now that's just being perverse. No.
It's actually not.
It's not. I'm not. I'm just.
So there's been this whole discussion about before, quite some time ago. Certainly everything that Fedora's APIs do could actually be expressed in terms of disseminators on objects, and your kind of bootstrap object could be like a virtual repository object, and that accepts certain activities like ingest, and that really follows the Fedora way quite fully. I think it's worth future discussion, certainly, how that could work out.
I think doing it for the relationship stuff now is certainly easier in a way, since it doesn't exist at all in the REST on the REST side. So we can we're sort of more free to tread uncharted waters with it. I mean, we can sort of figure out if this is the right approach, and then we could revisit other aspects of the API.
Yeah.
Well, that's right. Because if we're not going to put the REST API into this release, and we could just add the stuff for relationships in the kind of the new format, then depending how well that goes, the actual final format of the proposed REST API could look different and work on a disseminator mechanism instead.
Yeah.
And then that really does sort of push along the whole notion of people actually being able to do these sort of micro APIs for sort of their application needs or repository needs.
Let me add in preservation needs going forward too.
Yeah.
Okay, so the proposal is HTTP put or post for updates to RHEL's ext and int would be our answer to adding the relationship methods to adding the relationship methods to the REST API. And then Sparkle update would be the proposed format. And Steve mentioned a URL parameter, which is a kind of update that can be generalized for various other formats. In this particular case, the normal RHEL's ext and int validation would happen as it does today. And we're also proposing that we add it as a default behavior for every object, or a default, essentially the system SDEF for each object. And doing this doesn't require that we except that we do it that in a general case, but it sets up the pattern. So it seems like we need.
I agree with that. At least that's how you formulated it at the moment.
So sorry, Asger, I didn't catch the beginning.
I just said I could agree with what you said. That sounds workable.
Okay.
So what we're saying is keep the kind of the proposal for the REST API as it is. So for normal, you know, if you wanted to update Rails X as the whole data stream just with some new XML, you'd do that. But if you wanted to do some modifications, you'd post essentially an update file, for example, Sparkle update, to a special disseminator.
Yeah.
And then that could be extensible in the future for other kinds of data stream manipulations.
Yeah. Now this, I just was reminded of something that I was thinking when we were talking about this. This is something that's might be a little non-REST-like, what we're talking about here. I mean, in terms of usually when you do an update to a resource, you're, you know, using that resource as the URI you're posting to. In this case, it would be a different URI, right? So I don't know. It might.
I guess you're posting to a modification service in the disseminator case, aren't you? So it's kind of got a different paradigm.
That's true. And so the location that might, you know, if it like returns a location header, it could still point to the original data stream. Location.
Wait, Chris, I'm not sure I understand how it sounded to me like you were talking. Is the issue here this you're posting a change and the basically because the subject of a relationship that's addressed in this this Sparkle update is not the last addressable resource of the URI that you feel like it's the departure?
I mean, it's just notable, like when we first started talking about this and, you know, making the change to the URL for the data stream itself, you know, for the what you can do again with a get, if it seems just a little less ideal to me, but, you know, maybe just from a weird design perspective, not to be able to accept other verbs on that same URI that, you know, can be interpreted as updates. But,
well, is there any reason why we couldn't accept them on that URI as, you know, as a put and simply pass them along to the service?
I was going to say that as well. Why not at least accept get?
Well, it's a special case. I guess, I mean, certainly could. So what do we publish in that case as the REST API, which is the recommended endpoint?
Well, we know that we are going to allow that the relations are going to stay in Rails X and Rails N. So if people want to be sure they are compatible with the future, they should just modify the data streams. But we provided these additional methods that we're going to evaluate in the form of disseminators. And about what we're going to... basically, we're going to make a number of methods that, ironically, all has the same endpoint but different verbs. That would probably be the correct way of having a service that accepts multiple HTTP verbs.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, I guess the only thing we couldn't do there is the delete, right? As in we...
Yeah, delete would cause problems. The put is debatable.
So sorry, which URL couldn't we do a delete to?
Well, if we wanted to delete a particular triple, then you couldn't identify what that is using, you know, the content of the HTTP delete call.
I mean, but wouldn't a change, I mean, it would be fair that any change would be an HTTP put.
Yeah, if that were the case, then that would be fine.
Yeah. So
it's potential here that maybe an HTTP post would be actually, you know, on the URL for the data stream would actually be updating the XML, whereas an HTTP put would be expecting to do, you know, some modification of, you know, maybe adding or removing a data a triple.
If that is the case, then we are seriously changing the meaning of put and post.
Yeah,
I mean, one of the
let's not do that.
Sounds like that's where we're going.
The only difference I actually found, and that is from the long West X discussion, is that a put should be idempotent, as in if you do the put twice, you would not end up with twice the number of relations. You would have the same number, and post has no such requirement.
So in that case, it should be put that would be putting it where you'd be adding XML.
No, it should be post to add. I mean, like adding new, like adding a specific new relation, like to
no.
Two relevant.
Yeah.
Oh,
so post to add a new relation or delete a relation, and put to add the entire XML data stream.
Yes. That is
how I understand. We have to be sure that this is the correct way before we do anything. But yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Either way.
So I think we can sort that out later. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Either way, this URL parameter that Steve mentioned would be valuable, I think, or some other way to indicate what kind of an update we're doing, to sort of act as a hook, right? One way I can think of that's maybe not really semantically rich, but would probably work is if, you know, we posted a MIME type, and based on the MIME type, you know, based on the format of the update, that's how the interpretation would go. So if it turned out, I mean, Sparkle, I don't know if Sparkle, has a MIME type, but
yeah, it does, or
that,
it
yeah.
has one. I don't know how official it is, but there's one that, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that could be one way of doing it. I just want to mention that.
That is, as far as I know, the standard way of specifying the serialization you want in a get method. If you want JSON or XML or what's not. So it makes sense to use it like this as well.
Yeah. So possibly could be triggered by format. We know that MIME isn't the most rich way to do this in the world, but that's a possibility. I don't know if we had a URL parameter for this, exactly what the name and content of that might be. Steve, did you have any suggestion on that?
Not really, but it'd be a good idea. I mean, it would also provide possibly two different mechanisms. I mean, depending on what kind of client and how, you know, how fully featured your application software is, doing simple put, post, delete sort of stuff with a URL parameter might be easy, but specifying things like the format may not be. So, you know, offering both routes might be useful.
That's true, yeah.
Some client might not be able to use headers, so
yeah,
should at least be possible to encode it in the URL.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so we have enough fodder for adding to this and furthering the work on the relationship methods. Do we have anybody who wants to sort of take the next step with this, and that's actually, you know, get more into specifying what it is? I can certainly add these notes to the tracker that we've come up with, but it seems like we really need somebody to sort of take the next step with this and figure out what's needed. I can certainly advise if, you know, anybody wants to dig in to the actual code on doing this, and in particular the messy bits I mentioned about, you know, actually implementing this on the URL side. I could kind of help with decoding some of that stuff. The default disseminator code I don't think gets all that much attention in Fedora, so
Is this connected to the web client?
The web client?
There's a class called web client that's really the central point of
No, actually the
making all the requests, the HTTP requests.
This is the package. Let's see. It's in Fedora Server.
Server access? Server.
Yeah, it's under access, disseminator, something, I think. So, source main Java. It's the server access default disseminator package. Yeah, so this is, Sandy wrote this years and years ago. So probably needs some sense making. Yeah, I don't think it's been touched in a while, but I think that would be the one of the harder parts, but
just to confirm then, so what we're saying is in terms of the current REST API proposal, you would post or put to the current proposed URL if you're replacing the whole of RailsX, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
But to perform any modifications, granular modifications, we would go via essentially a writable disseminator service. Just make sure I've got that.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, those would be the primary ways. But Bill mentioned, you know, we could still have the existing URL for the data stream except that other verb and essentially just treat it as a...
If there was a URL parameter, for instance, clarifying what was going in there. Okay.
So I know we've taken up pretty much all this call. so I'm going to at least add this to the tracker. And certainly if anybody wants to take the lead and take the next steps on this, feel free to sign up for it. And
so what do we think the priorities are then, that the REST API per se, would that go into 3.2, or that looks like too much work, doesn't it?
The REST API? So this in particular, or?
Just in general, the REST API.
Well, the goal has been to have it finished for 3.3. We could maybe talk about whether that's realistic or not.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the major items was trying to be able to have it finished enough to be able to at least deprecate the APIA Lite and APIM Lite.
Yeah.
Either deprecate them or just pull them out.
Yeah, it should be functionally equal to the SOAP API.
Right.
So I guess the other major piece is actually having the disseminator stuff exposed, right?
Right.
As a piece of the API. Has anybody thought about that yet? I mean, just in terms of like, is it pretty straightforward in terms of like just do it like it used to be done in API 8 Lite, but with objects in front of it? Or I don't know if that's compatible off the top of my head, but
I have to look it up first.
I mean, clearly we've got the code to execute everything. So it's kind of a matter of URL mapping at this point. I think these are the two major things with the REST API, though, in terms of completing it.
Yeah, the other thing is upload and the extent to which we want to pull that into the REST API.
What does upload actually do? I thought it was a utility method in the Fedora client, and I thought it was part of the API.
Well, it is, but if I guess that's the question. It is just a utility method in order to be able to allow pushing of content into Fedora and then getting a reference in order to make call, you know, make the other calls.
It would certainly be useful to have a, you know, a URI that you can post to as a temporary facility.
Yeah. Well, is it still useful with the REST API? Because, I mean, don't you already have the ability to do that with data streams?
No, you don't. Not with the. It depends on the managed data streams and how you implement them. You could actually post the file content directly to the data stream, I think. But then you will have a URL for it. But
that might
I don't know how managed data streams are handled.
But what about?
So yeah, I'd have to dig back into it to remember exactly what's. So it feels like, or it seems like, there's something missing that upload is still providing service for.
Okay.
I do have one suspicion about performance, in that when we do get stuff, it's being kept in a temporary storage area and then moved. So that double hop, it could be written all the way down into where it would be, and then if for some reason the operation couldn't complete, then it could be erased.
That makes
now,
sense.
Aren't we still using that in combination with the SOAP API? In other words, you send the file in, and then you make the SOAP call to actually, say, add a data stream, because we're not doing the with attachments.
So actually, so what I think we've just figured out is that we can't, unless we do replace it with something, I mean, unless we replace it with something in the new REST API, we really have to keep it around in its old form. So, I mean, it seems like until we have SOAP with attachment support, something like that needs to exist somewhere. So having it under a different URL, seems pretty easy. But.
I was just thinking... doesn't the REST method upload potentially break REST's statelessness?
REST is not actually defined to be stateless, as far as I know.
Yeah, and certain methods are, as you mentioned, idempotent. But
okay.
So.
There's one more thing. I guess there's that one of the other missing REST methods. This one, I hopefully would be easier. Is get relationships. that one should be much easier to take up, but it is still there as a to be done.
Yeah.
Get relationships Ah, you mean as get the relationships, not in get the wealth X data stream, but actually getting the relationships.
Yeah, it's issue 560 and
yeah.
The equivalent of the SOAP get relationships. Yeah.
Yeah.
But wouldn't the easy way, if you're doing this with the Sparkle update and so on, having a similar get disseminator that could get the relationships the same as you could update the relationships with Sparkle update?
Yeah, I went down that same road too. And then I started thinking again about how everything could be drawn as disseminations. So what is it, what's special about the relationship stuff that makes us want to make that step into doing it just for that one, but not everything else? I don't know.
The fact that it's hard to do over REST with RDF, I think, is one of the reasons, right?
Over REST with RDF. I was just saying, you know, we have the Fedora disseminator way of doing any kind of operation.
Hmm.
And some of the things when we're using the term REST API, like the relationship stuff, especially modifying relationships. We talked about putting it over in that, not making it a traditional part of the REST API, or I guess we could call it that, but the URL is different. It's basically a dissemination URL. It's just a special kind of built-in dissemination. And so, I don't know, I'm struggling with this a bit because I don't know what's really special about the relationship stuff that makes it that we'd want to say, well, here's the REST API, you know, the few methods, and here are the URL syntaxes. But if you want to do anything with relationships, is this different syntax here?
Well, we were saying that this might be I think it was Steve who said this could basically set the tone for the REST API, or, you know, the actual form of the alternative REST API.
Okay. So,
I mean, you know, I'm not necessarily advocating for this approach, but I mean, I see the other benefit of this. I mean, if you can sort of, you know, loosen the grip on sort of, you know, having the REST API as we've been sort of thinking about it, is, I mean, the other benefit is just giving us, I mean, if we go down this path, it's giving us a better way to add new functionality, right? I mean, in the form of disseminators, which is a lot easier to, you know, to manage and update and, you know, get contributions for than it is for people to dig into Fedora and actually be changing, you know, APIM and so on and so forth. Mm.
Well, yeah,
also some problems, but yeah.
Syntax-wise.
I'd be almost inclined to remove relations from the REST API and just treat RailsX and RailsInt as data streams from the REST API point of view, so you could replace the whole thing, and then go down the disseminator approach for, you know, granular modifications to individual relationships. And it comes back to kind of what you're posting to, doesn't it? And then, you know, a relation not being an addressable thing. I don't know.
Well, I tend to agree with that.
I'm sorry. This is also part of one of the really underlying principles of the web architecture. Is minimize the number of verbs and create extension points. By pushing things into the disseminators, It creates extension points without having to always go back to changing the API.
Yes,
I would like to inject something, but Chris, if you want to go first.
Well, I'm thinking about our poor users or developers who are trying to develop against a Fedora repository. And it seems like we've got to be able to, in whatever way, whatever we call them, collect all of these core capabilities in some place so people can easily discover what they can do with things in our Fedora repository. So it's kind of funny. I mean, we talk about the REST API in terms of like the stuff that Media Shelf contributed. But it's true that we have, you know, people are using REST techniques to interact with Fedora through disseminators, and they can use REST techniques to interact through this sort of non-disseminator-oriented API that we've got today. It just seems, I just want to make the point that we really need to have whatever if we consider this relationship stuff important, an important capability that Fedora has out of the box, we need to make sure it's somehow logically grouped with a core set of functions in the documentation.
But, you know, putting them into the system objects would do that.
Yeah. We just need to make sure.
The rest of it would be a documentation issue.
Yeah. So there's a sense-making exercise for our users that we have to do, but.
So I think as far as, you know, next steps, I mean, if we can get a wiki page together, kind of like Asgur pulled together for the alternative REST. I mean, Chris, you said you're going to go ahead and create a JIRA issue for this, right?
Well, I was going to add it to the existing JIRA issue, but I think maybe just putting it on a wiki page and then having the JIRA issue point to it would be better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because then, I mean, like, yeah, I mean, certainly we've gone around in different directions enough on this that it'd be easier to sort of, you know, for people to, I think, hone in on the aspects of what we're talking about on the wiki page and, you know, add to it there and flesh it out, different pieces of it, and managing it elsewise.
Yeah, then we can each kick
so
in.
Who's taken the best? Who's taken notes?
I've taken a decent amount of notes here.
Okay.
I mean, I think I've got the main sense of it.
If you want to just post that up, and then, I mean, we can all sort of take stabs at fleshing out pieces or adding comments to pieces on the wiki then. Maybe that's...
Yeah.
And then that'll potentially, I mean, that will hopefully also kick off another discussion on the list as people get their heads around it.
Yeah.
Maybe someone will come up with a scathing critique of why we shouldn't be doing this way.
Yeah. They should tell us to stop talking and get coding, probably.
Let's talk more code.
Okay, so I mean we've definitely gone over today. There were a couple more items on the agenda. I certainly don't feel like we have to step through the newly submitted issues. I went through a few of those myself, and there wasn't anything that really begged for discussion today. But we were going to mention, at least on the 3.3 front, that another issue came up, and that is the it's linked in the Jira page, but it's the having a Maven target or a way to essentially build what we need to do for distribution. So part of the stuff I did last week was start to put together this guide for Fedora release managers and just documenting every step that needs to be taken to get a release out. And one of the things I identified as missing is, yeah, we can build the installer, and I think work is wrapping up on being able to build the clients, but we need to have that documented, you know, what actually needs to be done to get all those artifacts out there, or even just built. So we had a list, and Kai had agreed to take that on, being the release manager. Kind of made sense. So briefly, I mean, this was things like being able to build the source distribution, being able to build the installer, which we can, the client, the messaging client, and a couple other things. So I think unless people really want to have another discussion before next week on the phone, maybe we can just carry it on the list and the wiki in terms of the REST API stuff.
Someone is going to have to make the first post on the mailing list. If that would be you, Chris, when you written up the wiki page and made the issue, then post mm-hmm. to the mailing list what
yeah,
you have, and then all of this is going to notice and people are going to critique and so on.
Yep. I'll do that. Okay, anything else? Anybody want to?
Can I make a request?
Yeah,
Ben. A while back, Ben Osteen reported this problem about the Sparkle construct queries not working.
Yeah.
And that was a trippy issue, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And because I've been kind of hacking around in Trippy for my own work, I just branched Trippy and I think made the changes that address that issue. I just wanted to ask if someone would have a look at that branch, or at least make sure I'm not the only one that the integration tests are passing for.
So you you made a branch in the Trippy code?
Yeah, I'm trying to be a good citizen about the new committer guidelines. there's a branch called FC Repo 478 over there.
Okay. Yeah.
And then if that's okay, then we'd need to roll the new version of the Trippy libraries in, but
Yep. Cool. Well, I'll take
that
a
sounds
look.
Sounds good. I mean, I can take a look too, because I actually wanted to. There was actually a bug in Mulgera 2.1.1 that was affecting something I was playing with. So I was already thinking of updating Trippy for using Mulgera. Was a 2.1.4. So I can also just play in your branch, make sure it's do a sanity check.
Okay.
And then after
I'd
you get that,
it.
After you get that merged in, then I can cut. And cut one with 2.1.4.
Okay. Cool.
So is that ready to look at now, Ben?
Yeah. I mean, it's the last time I committed it. It was passing all the integration test, and I added a test for the Sparkle construct that doesn't have a from statement. Which I think hits both of the things that Ben Osteen was reporting in that issue.
Cool.
At once.
Okay. Great.
Oh yeah, I see that. Nice. Well, that's cool. Yeah, I'll take a look too. All right. Anything else? All right. Well, thanks for the great discussion, everybody. It's really good to dig in on that REST stuff. I think we came out with something, a good starting point for moving forward on the relationship stuff.
Yeah.
All right.
All right,
talk to you all next week.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thanks. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
The moderator has disconnected.